The scripture that you have in your bulletin is just a portion of what we're going to be getting into today. We're going to be exploring the entirety of chapter 5 within 2 Corinthians. And so there's two portions of that. And what you have in your bulletin is just kind of the intro to each of those portions. But if you want to follow along with the whole thing, it'll be on the screens, or in your pew Bible, if you want to join along in that way. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth for the second time. That's why we call it the Second Corinthians. The church in Corinth has been established, and he's sent his encouragements once and is doing it again. He's heard response. He's heard word from colleagues and friends that of the way things are going within the church, and he writes these letters to inspire them and encourage them, to help shape them and form them, and that's what this letter is. And the word that he has for them today, I think, is just a warning. It is Paul, and so it can get confusing. And he can he kind of goes in and out of images. You know, he uses different images for who we are and what we are, and he kind of goes in and out of them. So. I wanted to share the whole thing because the whole thing is very important, and I couldn't just find the one line I wanted to weigh on in this, but they're in there. And so I'm going to invite us just to openly receive this word Paul has for the Church of Corinth, for the Church of Edwardsburg, for the Church of all who call themselves followers of Christ. Awaiting the new body. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, while we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. The ministry of reconciliation. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than in what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some may say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is God's word for the people of God. Amen. Amen. The God of new beginnings. In this New Year's weekend, in this weekend in which we celebrate the things to come, the potential of the year, all the changes we hope to make, I invite us to consider the God of new beginnings, the one who has given us this gift of starting over, of starting fresh, of trying again, perhaps in a new way. What does that look like? What does that mean? We've heard this call to be the word, the messengers of reconciliation, the ambassadors of Christ. And as God has reconciled people to himself, we ought to be in that same light, reconciling ministers. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And he's committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are called to be people of change, people of new beginnings, people of all that is God. If we're going to talk about new beginnings and being people of reconciliation, I want to explore both of those things. First, let's talk about reconciliation, what that really means. Reconciliation, as an example, would be the act of bringing together two people or two parties to be friendly again or to be in agreement with each other. Two people or parties that once were together now find themselves apart. Reconciliation is the thing that needs to take place in order for those two people or two parties to be friendly again, to come to an agreement. Two siblings who mend their relationship after a long period of fighting. That's the ministry we're called to. That's what Christ has done. That's what God has done in Christ. All of God's power and love and forgiveness and mercy and grace born into Christ Jesus so that we may be reconciled to God and that we may be ministers of reconciliation in the world. Now let's talk about new beginnings. If we're going to explore new beginnings, we ought to first explore the beginning. As you probably know by now, my favorite Genesis story, my favorite story about the beginning of all that is not in Genesis at all. It's John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That is in the very beginning of all creation. That the Word was there with God, and the Word was God. And nothing that exists in all of the universe exists outside of being created by that Word. Christ is the Word of God. All that is God is Christ. All that has been made or was spoken into existence by the Creator, the one who sets us free from sin, spoke us into existence. That's power. What power to say a word and it becomes, it is, it exists now when it is spoken out loud by the one who created us. And the one who created us for the same purpose, to speak reconciliation into the world. You've been given that same power that is in Christ, is in you. Everything that God has done to reconcile people is within Christ Jesus. And if you have Christ Jesus, you have that same power to speak into existence all that is God. By His words, He spoke into existence all that is, and He called it good, even very good, especially you. All of humankind, He looked at it and said, it's very good. Would you say the same thing? We have a choice to speak into existence that we have more than a choice. We have a choice and power to speak into existence all that is reconciliation, all that is God's will. And when God looked at humankind, He said, it's very good. Do we? In this new year, as we think about who we are and where we've been and where we hope to go, I think we need to add weight to our words. We need to give them dignity, give them opportunity, give them the power that is the spoken word. We have that same power to speak into existence, whether something is positive or negative. And when God saw humankind, He said, it's very good. Do we? He created us in His own image, His own likeness. He created you and your neighbor's neighbor, in His own image, out of His own imagination, you were spoken into existence and called very good. From the very beginning, that blessing has been with you and with all of humanity. All that we need, all that is Christ, all that is the creation, the one who created all things, is within all of creation. That's His indwelling in you, in all of us. From the beginning, just say the word. Just say the word. When we talk about faith and our journeys of faith and what it takes to be a Christian, oftentimes we hear within especially evangelical forward ministry that Christ is not in you unless you invite Christ into your heart. I don't believe that to be true. I believe the one who created you is within you. And we are given an opportunity to speak it into existence, to say it out loud, to claim it. All of humanity, all of creation exists through, in, around, from Christ, the Word. Speak it into being. You have that power. It's a gift of the one who created you. And it's always been and always will be to speak it. We have a choice and we have power. A couple months ago during soccer season, about a week after I signed up to be a basketball coach, we were excited, and so we decided to go try some basketball with the kids. And so one of my kids had soccer practice, and if you've been to the ESC, the sports complex down the road, you know that they have lots of soccer fields and football fields and one basketball court. And we decided while one kid was practicing soccer, we would go practice basketball. And me and two of my children went in with two basketballs to go shoot hoops. We weren't there. We weren't the only ones there. And there were two other children there. And they were brother and sister, and they had another brother or sister practicing soccer also, except those two just had one ball. And brother was way better than sister. And sister just wanted to be part of the action. She wanted so desperately to play, to shoot it. And he was not giving her the opportunity. Rarely, when he would miss and it would bounce far enough away for her to beat him to the ball, she would get her hands on the ball. And he'd let her shoot. And it was terrible. She wasn't going to make one. And he let her know that. That's why I don't give it to you. Because you're never going to make it. You're never going to put it in. Not like that. Give me my ball back. And she was distraught. And so as we entered, I could see that unfolding from the whole way we were walking to the court. You could see this thing unfolding. And her frustration and kind of the power that was at play there and older brother in charge. And when we got there, they were at one side and we were at the other, but that often inner changes and balls would roll across. And so with that came a little bit of conversation. Can I shoot your ball? My brother won't let me shoot ours. Absolutely. Give it a try. And it didn't get much over her head, let alone close to the rim. And she said, "I'm terrible, I know." And I thought, that's why I signed up to be a basketball coach. Because he spoke into existence the negative. She had no chance of making it because she's never heard that she could. And so we invited her onto our side of the court. We talked about form a little bit. We got her to hold the ball here and push it up with everything in her being. And it was everything she had. I think she's 8. It was everything she had in her power to get it to touch the rim. But once she touched the rim, She was ecstatic. She'd never done that before. And so we reset and said, all right, you're now quit aiming at the rim. Aim higher. Aim over the rim so that it can maybe go in. She made two baskets that day, the first and second of her entire life. And she was at our tryouts 2 months later, wanting to play basketball. I didn't get to be her evaluator, and I haven't seen my team list yet, but she might be on it. But I did see her later when my son's soccer team was playing their sibling's soccer team, and we sat down our chairs, and this little girl came running across the sideline and jumped onto my lap and gave me a huge hug, and Mom was looking like, no, we've talked about this. You don't just go hug strangers like that. And I said, hi, Ann. How are you today? Good. I've made four more baskets. It's been 2 months, and she's made four more, though. But what changed? Someone told her she could. Did she have what she needed to make a basket before I arrived? Was it within her? Yeah, every bit of it. Every bit of the strength and focus and whatever it was that was needed for her to physically get that there already existed. What did not exist was the word, the encouragement, the reconciliation. She needed to be reconciled because she'd been told that she couldn't. And that's what was existing within her. She had every bit of what it took to make a basket before I arrived. But what if I would have gotten there and said, oh, you are terrible. Right? God created all of humankind and said, it's very good. What do we say? What truth are we speaking into existence with the power we've been given in Christ when we are looking at humankind? Speak the truth into existence. If it feels like it's not very good, it's probably because there's a whole lot of people speaking the negative into existence. Christ speaks freedom from sin. Christ speaks goodness and gentleness and forgiveness and reconciliation and grace and love. And that is the power that he possesses. And it's the power that he has passed to you, to every person. What powerful words are those? All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That's where we get stuck. We sit here and count other people's sins against them. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. And through God, we are making his appeal through us. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That we, you, us, all of humankind, might become the righteousness of God. This whole letter is speaking power, godliness into existence. He's encouraging this new church to be a church of reconciliation. And I hope the same for us, that we might claim for ourselves more than just, yes, I'm going to heaven. It's great. It'll be wonderful. But what about the meantime? What about today? What about this new year to come? Are we just waiting for death to be reconciled to Christ? Are we waiting for the world to end in order for everything to be made whole? Or is God calling us to start that, at least start it today in this new year, to claim the power that he's given us? You can do all things in Christ who gives you strength. Claim that. Speak it into power. Ask, knock, seek, and it shall be yours. Claim that. Speak it into power. Gather in his name and he's there. Cast out demons. Speak all the godly potential of every person created into existence. Stop giving power to the negative. Stop giving power to sin. We have a choice in every moment, and in that choice exists power. All the power that God has offered in Christ Jesus. It's like a Christmas dinner. If I pull out a beautiful turkey dinner from the oven and I'm bringing it to the table and I fall and it's all over the floor, we have a choice in that moment, and in that choice is power. Is Christmas dinner ruined? Or is Christmas dinner different? Is this an opportunity to be exploring new foods, new traditions? What if that happened 20 years ago, and ever since, your family has laughingly celebrated Christmas with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? That's speaking the power that we've been given into existence. Because you can instantly say, oh, it's ruined. Or you can say, it is what it is. And we are here together. We have that power. When we stop giving the power to the negative, we stop speaking power to the world, we stop counting people's sins against them, and we be the power of the living word that lives within you. Amen.